Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. There is two types of wisdom. I don't know if you know this or not. There's two types of wisdom. There's one wisdom that's called heavenly wisdom, and there's one wisdom that's called earthly wisdom. And James, the brother of Jesus, talks about in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13, he's talking about that. This is so important because what we need is sometimes people are just going in general for wisdom. But the truth is, there's two types of wisdom. And just being wise, earthly wise, it's not going to get you any different results. It could be even worse. The wisdom of man is what put Jesus on the cross. So the earthly wisdom is what put Jesus on the cross. So to understand, we need to know the difference in the two. And so James does a real good job of letting us know in James chapter 3, verse 13. He says, who is wise and understanding amongst you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So understand that if we are truly have godly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, that our life, you can just look at people's life and it's just different. It's you know, even though they may be doing powerful things, they just seem so humble in the context of them doing it, and they're wise in that. And so he goes on and says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about this or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Think about it, of the devil. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. You know, why is there so much? What's happening with marriage? What's happening with family? You know what's happening? Earthly wisdom. This is amazing. Some of these, you know, marriage conferences and seminars and trainings and books, and you look, it's like, that has nothing to do with the Word of God. That's earthly wisdom. And it's producing something, just like he says right here, it's producing disorder and all kinds of evil practices. But disorder, you know, order. Well, order would be heavenly wisdom. Disorder would be earthly wisdom. And so understanding that we want heavenly wisdom, not earthly wisdom. So when we're walking in earthly wisdom, that's when bitterness kicks in. I'm bitter, and you got something stuck in your heart. You can't get it out, or you become envious of somebody else or some other position or power or whatever it may be, or relationship, or start getting into all kinds of evil. It just produces sin in our life. When we start operating in the world's ways, it just fuels our carnal nature, and we're held captive by it. And the thing is, like, you know what? What is God's wisdom? Look at God's wisdom. You're gonna find out. We're about to hear what heavenly wisdom is. When you hear this, you're gonna go, "Oh, I understand why America and the church is the way it is today." Listen to heavenly wisdom. There it is. Verse 17. He says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure." Pure motives, pure. Then peace-loving. Peace-loving, not a fighter. Peace-loving. You ever seen those people who walk around with like a strifeful cloud around them? It's like, wow, how do you live in this?
Are you always ready to fight?
Yeah, right. right. He says, but they're peace-loving. They're considerate. They're considerate. Think about that. You first. No, you. You first. No, you. You just consider it. So listen to this one. Submissive. The wisdom from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, and submissive. Think about that. So a lot of things that are happening right now are earthly wisdom, where people are just like, I don't want anything to do with authority. Any authority at all, when all authority is established by God. And then he says, this heavenly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. I mean, that's a huge contrast between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And it's like, oh my goodness, who would ever known I was living off earthly wisdom? Maybe your whole life has been, you've been struggling with bitterness and resentment. You've been just your You can't bring order to your life. You can't bring order to your marriage. You can't bring order to your family, your business, your ministry, whatever it is. You just can't bring order. It's just, you know why? Because you may have been following earthly wisdom, you know, a good idea instead of a God idea. And you got to be able to say, you know what? I got to face the facts, because heavenly wisdom, it comes from heaven. It's pure. I got to get rid of these wrong motives in my heart. It's peace-loving. It's considerate. I got to start being more considerate towards people. It's submissive, looking for a place and the opportunity. Where is the authority in the situation? It's full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. Oh, my goodness. Lord, we just ask you for heavenly wisdom in our life. Think about this. Trust God. Think about this again. Trust God. I mean, he's trusting you. Mm. Why don't you got to begin to think about this? I'm going to trust God in people. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust them. Even if they make a mistake, even if they make a mistake like Adam and Eve did, I'll step in and I'll work something out. But, you know, I'm going to trust them. Mm. You roll down there and I'll roll up here. You know, love always trusts. And so I think the church, one thing the church we're going to have to do is, I'm seeing it just from observation and experience, is that don't control the church.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't control it. Allow her to leave you. You know, allow the church to leave you. Allow those that you're called to lead to leave you. And they follow God through your leadership because God's calling them there, not because you're forcing them there or threatening them there or whatever that kind of stuff is. And that's love, because love trusts. I mean, no wife wants to be married to a husband that forces her to marry him and forces her to stay in relationship with him. She wants him to know I'm here because I want to be here. And mm-hmm. I'm in this marriage and I'm actually following, you know, Ephesians chapter 5, you being the head of me as Christ is head of the church, because I'm willingly doing this. You're not forcing me to do this. That's what my worship to God. That's what I'm doing. And vice versa for the husband as well. And at some point, we're going to have to trust God and God's people. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, they're going to make a mistake. You want to talk about yours? I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about this. This is so important. I mean, that God, when the church was birthed and it was just powerful in Jerusalem, God allowed persecution to come to the church so they would go out and do what we're talking about. And began to, and God trusted himself with them, and they went out and preached the gospel everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Simple fisherman, unlearned.
Yes.
Not with the wisdom of the world, not with knowledge, but he entrusted his word. He entrusted his message to 12.
Yes.
To 12 simple-minded men.
Yes. You know, a doctor, a tax dude, you know, Thomas the doubter, Peter the questioner, you know, all this crew. I mean, he said, you got it, I'm out of here, almost. Mm-hmm. And but yet, because he did that, and because he knew, the thing is that I don't know if we have this available on VFN TV, the role of the Holy Spirit, but it's you can listen to it. But it's just so powerful, understanding, like, oh my goodness, I've been trying to be Holy Spirit. I've been trying to be the Spirit of God. And one thing you have to deal with when you let go of control is the fact that everybody that said they were with you aren't. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're not. And when a man says, well, he stops saying, controlling his wife and saying, you know, you're going to be married to me, he may find out that she doesn't want to be married to him, and she may walk away from that marriage. And that is the reality when he stops controlling his wife, or vice versa, controlling her husband. Well, you have to face the reality when you begin to let go. First of all, remember, if you are doing that, you're putting your hands on Jesus. You're messing with the body of Christ. Whatever you do to the least of these, you do it to me. But understand that when you trust God and you pray over a matter and you trust God in them, and you're instantly beginning, when they become born again, a person becomes born again, you're training them for the launch at that moment, because you know at some point, like in a natural son or daughter, you're not going to have them, you know, 50 years old in your house. I mean, they're going to start their own family and whatever. So you're like, you're preparing them for the day they know not of, you know, mm-hmm. that you're not going to be here. But yet there's people that will stay, and they don't know anything. They've never been trained up. They've never been discipled. And if they had to launch out, even after 60 years sitting under someone's ministry, mm-hmm. they don't know what to do. They wouldn't. They wouldn't know what to do when it's being the church is not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. But it's not as frivolous as the rebellious has made it out to be either. I mean, it's there's a tension between that, and you know we're gonna have to trust that you can allow people to go into the harvest field and tell people about Jesus and to disciple people and to love them and encourage them. And what do you know? They might be as smart as you. They might be, you know, they just go figure, right?
Imagine mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. I know that he's a simple fisherman, but you know what? I think Jesus trusts him. I think Jesus trusts him. And that's what confounded the religious folks. Right. How could this happen without me controlling this? And it's like, do you feel like you really have that much control? I mean, really? I mean, seriously?
Right.
I mean, that's kind of exhausting, isn't it? I mean, a controlling person eventually becomes controlled. And the thing about it is that is not good. That's witchcraft. That's like, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's repressive to God's people, and it doesn't allow them to mature. And understanding that if you have a son or a daughter, you want them to mature, but with that, you understand that you're going to have to allow them to go through processes that's going to be rough for them. It's going to be rough for them. It's going to be tough for them. And they're going to have to do the work. They're going to have to do the work and push through and get their strength built up to be able to be strong in life. I mean, you have to allow them to go through those processes. I mean, God's done it to us, you know, and we have to do that for others. And it's like, oh, but I really liked, you know, I said, but no, you don't understand. They will never grow up in God. They will never grow up in God unless you trust God in them. Mm-hmm. You have to trust God in them. And believe me, there's things that they didn't pay attention to when you're talking to them that they will have total recall in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the mm-hmm. trials, in the midst of having to eat their own consequences. But those are the moments that we grow up, isn't it? Those are the moments that we mature.
Mm-hmm.
The day that the $500 power bill comes in, we just kind of like go, whoa.
Oh, boy.
Dad was right. This stuff is not for free.
Yeah.
You know?
Who sent this here?
Who got my name? Right? But that's the same with the church. The church is that we got to say, you know what? Hey, we've been talking for 10 years now. I think you stopped really listening around the sixth year. And now you just kind of criticize what I do or don't do. Why don't you just go out? I'm going to send you out. And mm-hmm. now you can begin a family. You can go out and begin to share Jesus Christ and begin to love on people and lead them to the Lord and disciple them and train them to launch them into their destiny in life. That's the way it's done. And then we all relate as family. I mean, the whole church is one church.
Mm-hmm.
And we all relate and we love the church. But, you know, isn't it fair to have everybody to have the chance to be fruitful for God, to be able to go into the harvest field, to have, you know, grape stains on their fingers and vineyard soil on their feet? Remember that we're all going to be held accountable for being fruitful or not fruitful before God. And if gifts was fruit, then Jesus wouldn't have said what he said in Matthew 7. You know, which is many people are going to come to me and said that we used our gifts effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to say, I never knew you. Listen, if you don't love people, you don't know God. It just boils down to it. If you don't have a love for a people, you know, persons, your family, you may even hate your own family. You're like, you need to find God. God will heal your heart. He'll forgive your sin and he'll give you his love for mankind. And you just fall in love with people and you help them and they hurt you. But, you know, because you love God, you just hang in there and you allow God to do what he's going to do. But understand that we got to say, you know what, God, you may have to say, you know, maybe you're a pastor right now and you're listening to me. You know, you're going to have to say, God, you know, forgive me for being controlling. I've been controlling your people. I didn't trust them. I didn't trust you. And because of that, they are just infants in you. They have not been discipled. I didn't tell them the real things they needed to know so they could do the real things they need to do that you're going to judge them for at the judgment seat.
Mm-hmm.
And just ask God to forgive you. And then humble yourself and say, you know, now I'm going to begin to repent and live this out differently and go in there to your gathering of people, ever how many it is, and say, listen, today or last night, I repented before God because I have been controlling you and keeping you in infantile states, not expecting you to grow up, not giving you the tools and the heavenly wisdom that you need to be able to go do what God's called you to do. Now, you're going to find out that some people are going to say, I don't want to do that, you know? Or somebody will say, you know, well, why didn't you do this a long time ago? And they go, well, I did three times. You didn't move, son. I tried to take you, you know, that kind of thing. And in the context of that, then you can begin to understand, I need to bring them up in the training of the Lord so they can do what I've been doing.
Right.
So that the day that you go to be with the Lord, which could be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you can go and we could be out of here, that you don't want to leave bad fruit behind. You don't want to leave a captive people behind. You want people that will go on because of their faith in the power of God and in Jesus Christ, not in you. Because you gave them everything you had. That's called double portion anointing. They have the double portion. They have everything that you had that God's given you. You gave it to them. But then they have their own personal experiences in God and what God's doing to them. They have all this wisdom just coming like a force to be able to produce in their life. But it's going to take. It's really going to take. And what happens when sheep go out amongst wolves, you know, and evil men, you know, sometimes terrible things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a pastor right now, again, as we just talked about this week, that's in jail facing a life sentence, a death sentence, just for winning people to the Lord in Iran and beginning churches that are meeting in homes over there in Iran. He's facing a death sentence. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, some terrible things have happened to missionaries that have gone into other lands, and some terrible things have happened to missionaries that came to America. But evil things have happened. You know, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves, he said. That's what Jesus said. So you're going to have to say, okay, I'm sending somebody vulnerable out that I really hope they follow God and they do what God's expecting of them.
Mm-hmm.
But because you introduce them to God and they're abiding with God, guess what? God will direct them every step of the way, just the way he directs you. It's just pretty cool how that works. And if they go astray, guess what? God will convict them. The Holy Spirit will do what he does in the context of the church. We cannot really be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you find out, I got a list of it. It's on the VFN Torch called The Role of the Holy Spirit. I got them listed out. And hopefully we can put that as a related link to what the segment is right here so you can find it. Or you can go to VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch. And then type in the search area, upper right-hand corner, the role of the Holy Spirit. And you'll go, oh my goodness, I was doing all that. That was my job description, what I did. And then you repent for that, and remember, dealing with the Holy Spirit, that's you can do a lot of things to God, you can do a lot of things with Jesus, but if you start messing with the Holy Spirit, that's some serious territory. He says, you know, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that you can never be forgiven.
That's right.
Which blows away some doctrines out there. But in the context of that, so we got to be aware of what the Holy Spirit's role is and allow him to do what he does and honor him in the context of that. And so what's going to happen? We're going to have to train up the church for works of service so that we can all get involved in doing the work, because the church will build itself up as each part does its work. And so all of us, speaking the truth in love, training the church up, believers up, that's the church, training them up so that they can go out and do the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of the fivefold ministry spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and on. He says, you know, it's the Lord that gave these five gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and evangelists, to do what? To train God's people up for works of service, not to sit and listen to you for 20 years. I mean, come on. What is that doing? What's the point, first of all? Mm-hmm. Secondly, is they have to answer for the life that you told them is of God. Mm-hmm. They have to answer for that. Well, if I told them the truth and they wouldn't want to do it, well, at least give them the chance to reject it.
Right.
At least to give them the chance to say, I'm fearful, I'm afraid, and I don't know. And then you can encourage them and train them and love on them. But sometimes, remember, God allowed persecution to come to the church of Jerusalem, and everybody left Jerusalem except the church leadership. Apostles didn't leave, which means if the men were in control of that, they would have taken the apostles out of that one moment.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, Paul comes back when he's out, and he comes back and talks to James and the apostles there. You know, talking about some doctrine and some things that happened, which means they never did go anywhere. It was just God going, go out into the harvest field and do something for God. You know, tell them about me. And they began to talk. When, did they have training? Did they go to school? No, they just went. And the same Jesus, the power of the gospel made manifest, and all of a sudden you have the many Jews getting saved, the Gentiles getting saved. Powerful things were taking place. And why? It's because we obeyed God. We obeyed God. And so maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe you're thinking, well, my life's going to be totally different. Maybe you're struggling with the fact that, hey, I'm going to lose my house, my job, my car, my 401k, my paycheck. Because the second I start telling them that they are the church and they're going to be expected by God to do everything that God says, then they're going to fire me and hire another one. Well, you're a hireling if that's true. If they can do that, you put yourself in a place to be a hireling. And if they do fire you, then just praise God for it. Now you know. And then you go and begin a new work for God. And don't go find you a place that somebody else hires you. Go and do a new work for God, a pure work for God, and begin to believe him and fall in love with people and the people group that he's called you to, and begin to watch him do what he does and know immediately, even though you might say, oh, I want to be close forever, immediately begin to train them for a launch, train them to go in their destiny, train them to do what you are doing.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.